Welcome back to the Physician Syndicate podcast. I'm your host, Ronak, with Greg here as well. Clearly, it's been a little bit of time since our last episode came out. Going forward, we probably are going to be moving to a weekly cadence where we still want to bring you interesting interviews, what's going on in the news, just topics going on in the business, finance, startup, venture capital world. But yeah, you can probably expect us to be coming at you about once a week. Maybe we'll move to twice a week. If you have any big thoughts about the new cadence, definitely reach out to us. But yeah, before we double click on this episode, Greg, is there anything that you want to chat about?
Yeah, the one plug that I'll make quickly is just a newsletter that Ronak and I have been working on for the past couple months called the Physician Job Board, which is really just curating a bunch of jobs for physicians that are non-clinical mostly. So anything from working with startups to pharmaceutical companies, venture capital firms, whatever it is, anything that I find interesting or Ronak finds interesting that is technically a fit for a physician to jump out of clinical medicine, it's going to be on there likely. It's very easy to consume and it's coming out once a week at this point. So it's every Thursday morning. So take a look at that. We'll link it into the show notes for you guys to sign up. But yeah, take a look.
Mm-hmm. And if you end up getting a job based on this newsletter, definitely reach out to us. We would love to hear more. I think it would be really, really cool for any one of our listeners that's a physician to end up being one of the first employees at the next Coca-Cola or the next Johnson & Johnson giant companies, because they took a little bit of a risk. They signed up for a newsletter that has postings for non-clinical jobs, and you know, they decide to just jump into an entirely new world to see what they can make of themselves. So definitely reach out to us if that's you.
So let's chat about what we've been chatting about offline in general terms, and we can bring in the audience a little bit into the wonderful world of, should you build a company? Should you not? I guess we'll lay the foundation of this conversation as saying we're looking at a completely new industry, not medicine, not healthcare, that we both think, and we've talked to a few people within the industry, think that is ripe for, I hate using the word disruption, but it is. It's a gigantic legacy industry that hasn't used much tech in the past. And we're thinking about going in and trying to use tech and creating a few enemies along the way.
Yeah. So Greg, when you're looking at a new industry to go after, what are the characteristics of that industry that you think are really interesting so that way you can be a disruptor?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that I look for is just overall, what is the size of the market of that industry? Is it a big market? Is it a small market? That's kind of the first thing that I think about. And I think one of the first things that we did together in the office in Philly was just like go through the incumbents, try to understand what is the market sizing for those large incumbents, and is it something worth going after? You know, this isn't like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a small market. You know, is it bottle cap collecting? No.
I also think it's really interesting to like just do a double click on the incumbent players and how tech savvy, how forward leaning are they? I would even think about like how intelligent do they seem as organizations, right? If this is a very legacy industry, are they just fat, dumb, and happy where they're just milking their profits with whatever they put together decades and decades ago and haven't really touched much? If that's the case, you're kind of at a fork in the middle of the road where are the legacy players, have they built such a big moat that it's almost going to be impossible for anybody to penetrate even with the new technology that's out there? Or is it a state that's disruptible? So for example, let's say Coke and Pepsi, they've been around for a long, long time. And you know, the product of soda has not changed all that much, especially that classic cola beverage has not changed that much. If you and I try to start a new machine learning cryptocurrency company to disrupt cola, that's probably not going to work, right? Their brands that they've built up, the shelf space that they've been able to acquire with so many different partners, restaurants, bars, grocery stores, everything around the world is just ridiculous. You have like, what, 8 billion people on this planet? I would imagine that Coca-Cola is probably one of the 10 most recognizable trademarks in the world. Probably Pepsi is up there also. So to be able to go up and compete against that, that sounds incredibly difficult to me. So that's an industry where even though it is a little bit legacy, they're probably not using all that much technology, I wouldn't want to touch. Does that sound fair to you, Greg?
That reminds me of a quote that I heard from Warren Buffett where he's basically like, I invest in companies like Coke because a ham sandwich can run them, right? Like all of the hard things have already happened for Coke. Like it's really just like, don't screw it up at this point. It's not necessarily like you need to go out and make gigantic decisions to win a market. It's like, you've already won the market. You just have to keep winning. So yeah, it's definitely not that type of industry that we're looking at. And it also, you know, the other thing that you mentioned is like, are people just fat and happy? Which is another quote, which I'm not sure who actually made this quote, but it was, your margins are my opportunity. Something like that.
Jeff Bezos. This is Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Yes. Yes. You your margins are my opportunity.
That's the way that I think about industries also.
Yeah, that's really interesting, right? Your margin is my opportunities. So it's almost like you can go industry by industry by industry and see who has the fattest margins. And that's somebody that clearly it would be very profitable to you if you are able to disrupt them. I mean, that would really suck, like going through the hard work of like building out an entire company, taking over the market share of the entire industry, and then it ends up not even being that much. Like what's the point of doing that, right? So like figuring out that correct industry is very important. But interestingly, I think margins are also very, very tricky. Just because somebody has fat margins doesn't mean you can go after them, right? So if you think about a lot of these big software companies, think Google and Facebook, they have gigantic huge margins, right? I mean, like they were the original disruptors in the advertising world, right? People used to advertise on like newspaper and radio and television, and then they came in and just completely destroyed the industry. Their margins end up being way fatter than the radio and newspaper ads were in the past. And they've just been able to like scale and grow the industry. So I think like that starting point of margins is definitely a good place to be. Because think about it, if you are going after an industry with huge margins, if you're able to replicate the same product or service that company is offering, just with smaller margins, you're basically offering the same product to the customers at a lower price. So theoretically, you should be able to win market share pretty quickly. A lot of these big companies, you know, they have a huge staff. They might be paying dividends. They might have to be paying pension to like former employees. Yeah, just exactly. Just a ton of overhead that you as a startup might not have to deal with. And that could be a huge competitive advantage to you.
Yeah, so I think we can talk a little bit about, you know, what does that look like to be like, oh yeah, we're looking at an opportunity. So for me, it's an industry that I know a little about. I won't say why I know a little bit about it, but I know a little bit about it. And now it's more like, how much can I learn about this industry and how quickly can I learn it? And then for Ronak, me, and whoever are the other co-founders of this potential company, it's like, okay, well, how do you exploit those things that you learn about that industry and take advantage of all of the areas where tech can come in and do something that this legacy company can do with hundreds or thousands of people? It's like, can you do that now using tech with only a few or a handful of people? I think that's the interesting piece about what the idea is that we're going after potentially is it's really automating a lot of the things that don't necessarily have to be done by humans anymore. We'll keep it there.
Right. So like, I think there's this idea that you should start a company where you have an incredible amount of history and knowledge about that industry. I actually look at this the other way around. You have fresh eyes if you go after an industry that you're not super close to. So actually an interesting example of this is Elon Musk and SpaceX, right? So Elon Musk, he made most of his money before SpaceX and Tesla in PayPal in the economics and finance world. His degree was in economics. He was starting to get a PhD in physics, so he has a little bit of physics knowledge, but he was not an aeronautics engineer. He never designed an engine. He was not a rocket scientist. right? But what he did in those very early days was just go talk to as many intelligent people in the industry as he could and just self-learn, right? Like there were stories where like in the early days of SpaceX, he would corner employees and just like quiz them on like everything he possibly could. And the employees were scared thinking that he was about to fire them because they're testing him so hard. But really, Elon Musk was just trying to extract as much knowledge out of these folks as possible and just learn how to design an engine, how to design a rocket ship. And obviously that worked out incredibly well. Plus the idea of like coming at this with like first principles thinking about if you were going to build up this industry from scratch, how would you do it today as opposed to how the industry was built 50 years ago, right? That combination of fresh eyes and an aggressive thirst for just knowledge for how the industry works today, I think can sometimes result into some pretty interesting starting points of a company.
Ronak, have you read the book or listened to the book? I'm a big listener of books now. 0 to 1 by our friend Peter Thiel.
I have, yes.
I just listened to it on the way up and back from the Adirondacks. Very interesting read or listen if anybody's interested in sort of like startup theory and how do you build a company that is meaningful in an industry that is meaningful and not just like, you know, some random company that's going to do nothing in the world. It's a very interesting book to listen to or to read. If you have the time, definitely do it. It's on the Audible app. And yeah, I mean, one of the things that they talk about in that book, or Peter talks about, is the PayPal mafia, which we've talked about quite a bit, and how literally they all went and did really amazing things after PayPal, like, you know, Elon Musk and even Peter Thiel with, I think he actually co-founded Palantir and then of course Founders Fund and stuff like that. But anyways, like it's just a really, and it was fun to listen to also with thoughts going through my head of, oh, how can I incorporate this into this new company potentially? Like, how can we build it in a certain way that creates network effects and creates, you know, scale economies and stuff like that he talks about in the book. It's a good read for anybody that's interested in becoming a startup founder at some point or just has an idea for something. It's also like very fun to listen to when you're like on the brink of wanting to start a new company. It's like, get you going. You're like, okay, let's do this. Like 5 or 10 year journey. Let's build this into a gigantic company. Anyway, sorry, that was a little bit of a tangent into another really good book.
So actually, one thing that Peter Thiel talks about quite a bit, or has talked about in the past, is monopolies, and again, how they sometimes get fat, dumb, and happy, right? So he used to talk about Google saying that for like 20 years, they weren't doing any innovation. Just the fact that they've been able to pile up over $100 billion of cash on their balance sheet proves that they don't have enough good ideas. Because they have money to fund them, but they're just running out of ideas. And the Google search engine is just printing profits and has been for the last couple of decades. So why change anything? Why even research? Why try to build something new and different? And sure, you could say that they made Chrome and Android and all these other things, but it hasn't meaningfully changed their business model in any significant way, right? So it's not a mystery why ChatGPT came out of nowhere as opposed to from the R&D department of Google themselves. They supposedly have the best AI people in the world. They bought DeepMind. They've been doing so much in the AI space. But why were they not the ones to put out the next big leap in how search technology works? It's because they're fat, dumb, and happy. And if a company like Google, with that many smart, innovative tech people, can become fat, dumb, and happy, what about other industries? I mean, how legacy must they be becoming today?
Yeah, the other thing that one of the other examples that he talks about is Apple and how they almost completely failed until they brought Steve Jobs back, and then he literally just has success after success with like the iPod, the iPhone, the iPad. It's just like, it's crazy. And they went from, I think, like, it was like a $350 million market cap or something, like when he came back in 97 to whatever it is, you know, when he actually introduced all those products. It was like insane. I think that's probably also when Warren Buffett finally started investing into Apple. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what else can we talk about without giving too much away of kind of what we're looking at or like what the thought process is. I guess the other thing that we're doing coming up at the end of this week is we're talking to an industry insider, right? So like, how do you get the information you need to figure out, is this an opportunity that you ultimately actually want to go and start a company? Because that's a big decision, right? Like starting a company is not a small decision. It's a potentially multi-year, maybe a decade or more decision that you have to make, especially if it becomes a successful company and you're not going after just an acquisition. It's like, no, we're going to go after some of these legacy players and compete with them. But that's kind of the thought process that I'm taking right now is like, okay, when I want to talk to people that are on the ground within this industry, start to understand where are they getting, you know, fat and lazy, basically, and what can we expose and how quickly can we do it? So that's what we're going to do at the end of this week is talk to one of those industry insiders and figure out what is the actual play here. Is there something that can be done that is going to change the game enough that it can create kind of an imbalance towards a startup versus one of these incumbents that are very much ingrained and, although likely slow and lazy, still probably a really difficult thing to go after because they are so big.
Yeah, Greg, I think there's a few things that folks can do if they're thinking about starting a company and looking at a legacy industry. So in addition to talking to as many experts as you can, folks that are inside the industry, but also think about try using the products that these legacy services are putting out there, right? If you get your hands on them, you see what's clunky, what's working smoothly, that gives you a little bit of an idea of like what's breaking and what's not. I would also think about, you know, potentially putting together a robust pitch deck. You know, this forces an entrepreneur to think through what is the total addressable market? What's my first product going to be? What's the roadmap looking like, right? Like you get all of your thoughts a little bit organized with a pitch deck. I would also even think about like pitching to a few VCs, right? If this is an industry that they've funded companies in the past and weren't able to break that monopoly, why weren't they? And why are you going to be able to, right? There could be a little bit of like education that comes out of that more from a business standpoint as opposed to industry insiders. So this is just like learning a little bit more about, you know, how you can put together a startup that can actually go and crack the code.
And I'll say I'm reading or listening to a lot of books mostly and finding resources on this particular industry. And I will say the way that I found those resources, Ronak, any idea?
ChatGPT, that seems to be the answer for everything.
ChatGPT. Yeah, I mean, I basically put in, I was like, hey, I'm looking at this industry. I need to learn everything I can about it over the next six months to a year. What are the resources that I need to go and look at? And then it gave me, you know, 10 books and a bunch of podcasts and stuff like that. I was like, this is really great. Thanks. Time to go study. Thanks for joining the Physician Syndicate podcast. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. As always, we'd like to remind you that the information and opinions expressed on this podcast are for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as financial or investment advice. Before making any investment decisions, we strongly recommend that you consult with your lawyer, tax professional, and financial planner. Keep in mind that investing in startups can be extremely risky, and there's a potential for loss of your entire investment. Remember to always conduct thorough research and consider your risk tolerance before making any financial decisions. Stay informed, and we look forward to having you join us on our next episode of the Physician Syndicate podcast.